Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine. Hi, everybody. Welcome to August's Wine for Bet Street, or Vietto. And honestly, I'm so happy and sad at the same time because I literally only have like 10 days left of being free, and I have to go back to horrible, horrible Jersey. Not that Jersey's horrible, but you know what I mean? I would honestly much prefer to be here. So this month we've got Orvieto. So welcome to Wine for Bet Street. Welcome to Orvieto.
I'm Debbie Giaquindo. I am known as the Hudson Valley Wine Goddess. I'm a wine blogger, wine writer, author, and now restaurateur, which is killing me this summer. Absolutely killing me. And chairperson of the Hudson Valley Wine Competition that's coming up in like 3 weeks. So just something else I can add to my plate. And that's probably why I get like 4 hours of sleep every night.
All right. So I'm Lori Budd. My husband Michael and I own Dracena Wines in Paso Robles. We are producers of award-winning Cabernet Franc, which is now officially sold out for of our 2015 awesome. Vintage. But we still do have Rosé left, our 2017. We have about 3.5 cases of that left. And we are running a summer special, so you can head on over to the website to check that out. Basically, use the coupon code SUMMER, 6 bottles, $96. So pretty awesome deal on the rosé. Next week, I am doing another pouring event at the Fresno Chaffee Zoo, and we'll be pouring the rosé there. And we are just getting into a new restaurant also in Atascadero. So I am excited about that. So we are expanding. Welcome, everybody. And today is Orvieto. So we are back to Italy. I think we are in Italy quite
a lot.
I think we are in Italy quite a lot.
So we open. I'm dying for a glass.
Yes, we could open. So, okay, so it is an Orvieto Classico.
Mine's a Classico, too.
All right. And mine is a screw cap, which I thought was a little strange because they actually had a capsule over the screw cap.
Oh, really?
So I had to open the capsule in order to unscrew the bottle.
Yeah. Now, what year is yours?
Mine is 2016.
Mine's a 15.
Oh.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, so, okay. Slancha.
Yours looks like it's darker than mine.
It's dark in my room.
Oh.
I need better lighting. It's like a golden straw. It's nice.
It's got a long finish, like a white spice. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, we will get into that in a little bit.
I just needed a sip.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
I think mine was $12.99 or $11.99 too.
I think mine was like $13 or something.
Mine was $14.99. I'm sorry.
Okay. General characteristics for O is for Orvieto. The Orvieto White DOC is actually a growing area that includes more hilly areas of Orvieto, Alarona, Alviano, Bashi, Castel Giorgio, Castel Viscardo, Fabro, Fischul, Gadara, Montecchio, Montegabione, Monteleone di Orvieto, Parano. So it's huge. Like, I really didn't realize it was that big. Although I couldn't find how large property that encompassed. So I'm not really sure if it's that big or it's a lot of smaller little areas. But again, I will go back to the people I know who study the WSET diploma. They complain that Italy is very difficult to learn because there's so many small little areas. So it is among the most typical Umbrian wines known since ancient times and covers 70% of the DOC production in the province of Terni. So this is Orvieto. It is an Italian wine region located in Umbria and actually Lazio. It is primarily known for its white wines made from a blend of mostly Grachetto and Trebbiano, which is sold under the DOC Orvieto or Orvieto Classico. So we both have the Classico. Although they're mostly known for their white wine blends, they actually do have blended red wines, and there are 8 varietal reds that are allowed to be sold under the Rosso Orvietano DOC. So the Orvieto zone is in the province of Terni in the southwestern corner of Umbria. It extends southward into the Viterbo province of Lazio and north to the border between Terni and the province of Perugia. The Orvieto Classico region is characterized by Huffa. It's a variety of limestone formed when carbonate minerals, and they create these like stalactites of limestone. So I don't think they're called stalactites, but they're, you know, tuffa, that's to me is a stalactite of limestone and volcanic soil. So you can actually find these all over the region, and I would be in my glory because I think they are so magnificent. These two guys here, Joseph Bastianich, who is a restaurateur, a winemaker, an author, and a television personality, and David Lynch, who is an American writer and wine expert, they claim that the Orvieto world can be divided into 2 main camps. Those estates which follow the traditional neutral and Trebbiano dominated wines, and those estates that totally take advantage of the liberal DOC blending policy and use as much as the other permitted wines as possible. Under the Orvieto DOC, regulation wines may contain between 40 to 60% Trebbiano Toscano, 15% to 25% Verdello, and up to a 20% maximum of a combination of, or individually, of Grachetto, Caniolo Bianco, and Malvasia Toscana. Among Umbrian wines, Orvieto is the most representative and accounts for about 70% of the entire DOC production in the region. Orvieto is made from Trebbiano grapes, which is 50 to 65%, Verdello 15 to 25%, and then Drupeggio, Grachetto, Malvasia, which is 20 to 30%. And then, as I said earlier, they can either be classified as Orvieto or Orvieto Classico. And it actually is produced in 3 classes, dry, semi-sweet, and sweet. So Orvieto wines produced from grapes grown in a large traditional zone qualify for Classico designation and can also qualify for a superior designation if the wine meets a minimum alcohol and aging requirement. However, I searched and searched and searched and couldn't find what that requirement was. So there is some requirement, but I couldn't find what it was. The Orvieto DOC, which includes the large Classico region, is reserved exclusively for white wines, and Orvieto wines are expected to be crisp with delicate white fruit and floral aromas, along with a zesty citrus flavors. And today, there are 4 classifications of Orvieto DOP wines. So there's Orvieto DOP, Orvieto Classico, which is produced in the ancient areas, Orvieto Superior, which is low yield of superior quality, and Orvieto Classico Superior, which is ancient wine area, low yield, and those are the highest in quality. So that's my general characteristics.
Very nice. So Oreto, like you said, it's not a grape. It's a wine region in Italy located between Umbria and Lazio. It's known for its white wines that they produce, and they do also produce some reds. It's somewhat isolated because it sits on top of a rock above the junctions of the Paglia and Chiana rivers. This is the rock that the town sits on top of.
That's pretty cool.
I just think that that's way cool. The rock, Oreto, sits on top of the Tufa rock, and it's believed that this rock was thrown from a volcanic eruption where now sits Lake Bolsena. So that was the crater, and it spewed this huge rock. So underneath this rock, underneath the city, is a whole underground world,
mm-hmm.
which I think, I get into this stuff. I just think this stuff is way cool. And it consists of a whole bunch of caves and passages dug by the Etruscans. And just this little factoid here on this, but the most important structure in this entire underground network is the Pozzo del Cava, which is a huge well, and it's 36 meters deep, and it's made out of tufa rock. It was made out of, ordered by Pope Clement VII in 1527 to ensure that Oreto had a constant supply of water in the event of a siege.
These
cellar-like caves are what house the wine production and cool fermentation. And they used to, in the ancient world, the wines that they produced were actually sweet. From the Middle Ages to the 20th century, Oreto was known as sweet dessert wine made from noble rot. The botrytis actually was exposed to the fungus after harvest, when the grapes were packed into crates and barrels and stored in humid grottos carved out of the tufa stones. But today, Oreto is known for dry white wines, and they do produce a small quantities of semi-sweet style known as Oreto Avocada and Dolce. Oreto is made from primarily 60% Trebbiano and Grichetta, and they're combined, so it can be, 40, 20, 30, 30, usually it's 30, 30. And other grapes in the blend are Verdello, Malvasia, Sauvignon Blanc, and there is the DOC and the Classico. The DOC area covers Terni province in Umbria and extends to Viterbo in Lazio. And Oreto Classico, DOC, is where the best wines are made. It's where the soil ranges from tufa and limestone to volcanic origins. The red wines that are produced also include some grapes like Barbera, Sangiovese, Cab Franc, Dolcetto, Montepulciano, Pinot Nero, Cab Sav, and Merlot. I think that the city looks just way cool.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
And I'd love to go into that underground and see the caves where they actually produced, did all the winemaking and everything.
Yeah, I saw them when I was doing the research on the general characteristics, and I had to like stop myself from talking about it because, that's more history than general characteristics, and I didn't want to duplicate anything. I knew that would be what you were covering. But it's always kind of difficult to do general characteristics of a region.
Right.
I was like going down the rabbit hole with that because the tunnels and everything was so beautiful. And I was like, oh my God, look at this, look at that. And exactly the same thing. I want to go here. This is like beautiful.
And the vineyards, well, I think they sit all around the rock.
So let's talk wine here. Again, I have La Caria Oreto Classico. So this is mine.
Okay. Oh, this is mine.
Salviano.
It's a 2015 Oreto. Now, this is 30% Trebbiano, 30% Grichetto, 20% Chardonnay and 20% Sauvignon Blanc.
All right. Mine is 40% Grecciato, 30% Prochinese, 20% Malvasia, and 10% Verdello. And it is all grown in the vineyards that you were talking about, in those hilltop vineyards that are circling around the hilltop town of Orvieto. So La Carriera Orvieto Classico, it was actually, the winery was founded in 1976 by the Gioletti and Cotellari families. So Riccardo Cotellari was actually one of the most respected authorities on the production and marketing of Italian wines. And he's the co-owner, and he's actually the winemaker. So La Carriera, thanks to its broad and diverse portfolio, is able to, you know, satisfy across the board everybody. So they have wines that are the casual, you know, like the $12.99s, up to more expensive wines. They also produce Sangiovese, and as well as the Orvieto Classico. And apparently, now I don't know anything about this and I didn't go down this rabbit hole, they also produce Fobiano, and that apparently is a highly sought after collector's item. So I don't know what that is, but apparently highly sought after. The winery owns a total of 198 acres located in the heart of the Orvieto Classico Appellation. And of these, 172 acres are dedicated to the production of Orvieto Classico. And the remainder features Merlot, Sangiovese, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Montepulciano. So, yeah. This was fermented in steel, which I'm going to go with probably 99.99999% of it. These are. And it the length of the fermentation was 19 days. So, pretty quick.
Okay.
So, that's what I got.
Salvino Estate occupies 4,940 acres surrounding Lake Corbara and the banks of the Tiber River in the heart of Orvieto, the DOC production zone. Salvino, it's part of the Tignano Estate, which is a much larger property, which is, I would say, like the head ownership, and that's located across the lake in a medieval village called the Teg. We gotta do something that I can pronounce. Tignano is the village name. And in AD 937, the Tignano castle and its court grew by the 17th century to include the village and the surrounding land, including the Salviano Castle and its property. Wow. And the Tignano Castle has recently benefited from extensive renovations. The Salviano vineyards are planted with Sangiovese, Merlot, Cab Sav, Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, Trebbiano, Toscano, which is that peat that you have in your Salviano, your Orvieto. It's a Prochiano clone and Grichetto.
Oh, okay.
And it extends over 173 acres. They're newly planted vineyards of indigenous and international varieties. They have a state-of-the-art vinification and cellaring facilities located in the Salviano Castle on Lake Corbera. Stainless steel vats are used in the fermentation on both red and white wines. And barrel aging takes place in a cellar excavated from the tuff of limestone beneath the property.
Awesome.
So this particular 2015 that I have, just a little information on harvest. It was a mild winter, So spring was a little wet with frequent rains until mid-June. July was hot. The berries were rather small in size. August was a little cooler. So the climate, they say, trend was ideal, and it laid the foundation for an excellent vintage of white wines. They started picking the Chardonnay the first week of September, and that's really all they went into on that. The alcohol is 14%, the pH is 3.4, and the acidity is 6.20 grams per liter.
These wines were not from our sponsor. And now, a word from our sponsor. We are known for our award-winning Cabernet Franc and Rosé, but even we can't live on that alone. When we are looking to find some new and exciting wines, we look to our sponsor, Wink, spelled W-I-N-C. Wink makes it easy to discover great wine. It is super simple and even fun. When you first log into their website, you will see a palate profile quiz. They ask you questions like, how do you like your coffee? How do you feel about blueberries? And when you finish the survey, Wink provides you with four wines that are curated to your taste. But if you don't agree, no problem. You aren't required to purchase their suggested wines. You can choose whatever you want. There are no membership fees and there is no obligation. You can skip any month and cancel at any time. Wink makes exploring new wines fun and easy. Wines are constantly changing and start at just $13 a bottle, and shipping is included if you purchase four bottles or more. Sound interesting? Well, we have an amazing offer for our listeners. If you go to trywink.com/winefabet, you will receive $22 off of your first order. That means you'll get four bottles of wine delivered to your door for less than $30. Once again, that's trywink, trywinc.com/winefabet.
So
what are you getting in your Orvieto?
I get the limestone. I get a lot. There's a lot going on in it. Cause the flavors, you know, the different grapes are all,
yeah,
you know, doing their thing. I can smell the minerality.
Yeah, I get minerality. I get whetstone, so what you're calling limestone. I get whetstone. It's got flowery, like a white, maybe a gardenia, like a gardenia. But what
I get
lime, yeah, I'll get some lime. What I expected from everything I read, what I expected was very high acidity. I expected a high acid wine. Now this does have acid, you know, but it's not like an Albarino acid. It's not in your face acid.
It's not like a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc acid.
No. And the finish, I would classify as like a medium finish, not medium plus, not long.
Now mine is a long finish.
Is it? Yeah.
But it had a spice to it. It had like a white spice to it.
Yeah, I'm not getting that. In fact, the finish on my tongue, it's there. The acid holds on to your palate for a little bit, and then it just, bam, it's gone. There's like, you know, there's nothing. You know how like those Albarinos, Semillons, things like that, the Sauvignon Blancs, when you have a sip, you need another one. You know, it beckons you to have another one. This has acidity, or mine, you know, this wine has an acidity to it. So the wine holds up, but it doesn't have the acidity that makes you want to have another sip.
Right. My finish is quite long.
Oh, okay.
And the spice kind of holds right on the tip of your tongue. Hmm. It's kind of nice. I agree with you on the whole acidity part. I think this can be a very food friendly wine.
Mm-hmm.
Now I had a actually garden dinner tonight. I made pesto from the garden. Yum. I made tomato salad from the garden. And I did a shot with the Orvetto, you know, pairing it. But I'm like, but I have to wait until after Wine from that Street to open it. But this would pair really well with the pesto and the tomato salad that I had.
Yeah, I don't, Well, we'll wait to see what you have with the food pairings. I'm not, I haven't eaten dinner yet. So I don't know. I don't know. I can kind of, my big paninis of my life. I can probably go with the panini with this. It needs a little, the meal needs a little body, I think. I'm not talking body, like give me a steak like body. I don't know. It's not, this wine is not to me acidic enough that I would sit outside on the patio and sip it by itself. Where an Albarino, many of my Semillons, I would, porch pounders. I can't talk.
It needs more soft acidity?
Yes. Yeah. So it's not one, I would prefer it with food versus sitting out back
a pre
and having it by itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I definitely think it's a food type of wine.
Right.
But I like the flavors, the lime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big spice girl. I love the spice finishes.
Okay.
Whether it's white spice, black pepper, cinnamon.
Right. The cooking spices.
And I didn't expect that.
No, I don't. Well, see, I don't have that in mind. So we have very different.
Yes.
Mine's very aromatic. It's got a lot of white flour, citrus, a lot of citrus. But, and you know what? I'm going green apple, like a Granny Smith, because that's the only green apple I eat.
I get a little apple.
Yeah.
But it's not dominant.
No.
It's orchard apple. Because it's something I smell when I go apple picking.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've ever gone apple picking in my life. The closest apple picking I've ever done is when I go to Angry Orchard and drink their cider. You are actually up for food pairings.
So, isn't that a nice antipasto plate?
It is.
So since Orvetto is dry and high in acidity, it'll pair nice with all kinds of stuff, like acidic sauces, cheese, heavier fish like swordfish and wahoo, chicken, pork, veal, sushi, and cheese.
What about salted almonds?
I don't know about that.
The
salted almonds might with the salt and the acidity.
Caramelized almonds.
I don't know.
So for some reason, almonds popped in my head when you showed me that plate, but go ahead.
Yes, on the sushi, but sometimes I think it might not be acidic enough, depending on the Orvetto that you purchase.
Okay.
That's coming from somebody who doesn't eat sushi, but
I don't know.
But I mean, it's got the acidity for sushi, but I always think of like an Albarino, fried chicken. Am I making you hungry?
Well, I don't eat any of that, so no.
But it would definitely be the acidity in that.
Yeah, I can see it.
Great with the fried chicken.
Mm-hmm. Now we're talking my jam.
Different cheeses, goat cheese, Gouda, Parvati cheese.
See, now I don't know if I would go the goat cheese route. I'm thinking harder cheese. I'm thinking like, cheese that has the calcium crystals in it.
I'm thinking that these were complemented and it would make the acidity softer.
Okay, so that might have to do with your wine versus my wine.
Maybe. very well maybe, because I can see this with Harvati. I can see it with the Gouda.
Gouda is like the cheese of the wine world. I mean, seriously, like what doesn't go with Gouda?
Yeah, it goes with everything.
Yeah.
When I went to Holland when I was a kid, we went to Germany and Holland with my family. And we came home with a wheel of Gouda in my mother's suitcase.
Yeah, it goes with everything. You can't go wrong with Gouda. When in doubt, take a Gouda.
Yeah.
It looks like.
Also, chicken, anything in a citrus sauce, chicken or fish in a citrus sauce.
Yeah, like I think lemon chicken would go with this.
If you eat veal piccata, and that once again is a citrus lemon sauce.
Right.
I love that, but I know I'm not barking up your tree there, but that's pretty much what I have on food pairing. So
I can see
skewers of fish. This will go great with fish.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take your word for it.
I don't think shell. I mean, well, it will go fine with shellfish, but I think more fillets.
Okay.
White fish. Whether it's a steaky white fish like wahoo or swordfish, or even like branzino or tilefish, it'll go really well with.
Yeah, of all of those, I'm thinking. Well, like I said, I thought the harder cheeses with mine anyway, but I think
harder cheeses with mine.
Almost like a chicken Diane, and for me, minus the chicken, you know, just like that. Seasoning salt with a little bit of green onion and basically olive oil so that it can kind of do it. Yeah, that's fine. I don't know. I think we have two very different.
Yeah, too bad we're not together.
I know. We need to do one of these together. Five fast facts. Fact number one, although Orvieto will keep and may respond with some subtle evolution, it is expected to be drunk within 2 to 3 years under good cellar conditions. It's really meant for early consumption, not long cellaring. Fact number two, the geography of Orvieto. While there are clearly many attractions about Orvieto, the foremost in-your-face, most desirable feature is the geography or the topography of the city. So it is located on the site that actually rises, like you were saying, above the volcanic. So it's set above the city, and these are all the tufts. So, you know, how you were saying it's set above a rock, that's the rock. And the Albornez Fortress, which lies within Orvieto, was apparently built under the orders of the Pope himself, Pope Innocent VI, by Cardinal Albornez from Spain, and it's massive in its structure. The Albornez Fortress stands testimony to the architectural prowess of the eras, and like the whole city is like surrounded by this wall, so it's kind of cool. This is actually St. Patrick's Well, so it's 175 feet deep, 45 feet wide, and it's 496 steps down. And it, thanks to its natural hilltop fortification, Orvieto served as a 16th century place of refuge for the Pope. And as you said, wanting to ensure he had water during a time of siege, he built this extravagant well with two spiral staircases leading down to a bridge from which people could scoop up water. So the double helix design was crucial for allowing efficient traffic flow. So they actually brought donkeys in there. So not only people went down, but donkeys went down. And they were balancing jugs of water. So they had to go up and down, you know. So you have to manipulate how you go up and down. But because it's a double helix, like your DNA, you know, it works. Digging this was obviously a huge project. Even today, people in Italy or in this region of Italy, when they're forced to do something that is extremely difficult, a very difficult task, they'll say, oh, it's like digging a St. Patrick's well. That's their saying. And our last fact is Orvieto is known for its white wines, including the Grecchietto and Trebbiano grapes. The soil is rich in minerals, giving the wines a clean, crisp finish with a nice amount of complexity. So the wines of Orvieto deserve much praise for being some of the most historically famous in Italy. Orvieto has a wide variety of wineries, small and large, producing several different local blends. So there are our fast facts.
So next month we're going to talk about Picpoul.
We are going to talk about Picpoul, and I am so excited for next month because my original introduction to Picpoul is from Paso, and some very good friends of ours who own a small family-owned winery in Paso. He is a Picpoul maniac and ripped up other vines to plant Picpoul and do all that, and it is such an incredible Picpoul. So I'm so excited to A, drink more Picpoul, but B, to be able to talk about this winery. I'm very, very excited. So we have a month for you guys to go get yourselves some Picpoul. And
here's the link. Hold on, here's the link.
Debbie's going to add the link, and Debbie is the calendar keeper.
So you're going to do a Picpoul from California.
I'm doing a Picpoul from Paso Robles.
I got one from France.
All right.
So thank you guys for joining us.
What's the date, Deb?
What's the date? The date is September 17th.
September 17th. Awesome.
Yeah.
8 p.m. Eastern time will be Picpoul, and the link is in the chat.
Log on and join us. All righty. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for joining. Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Google, and Periscope as @DracenaWines. I am also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd, or email us at DracenaWines.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find us more easily. We are found on all of your favorite aggregators. To subscribe easily to iTunes, go to bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. And that's a capital D for Dracena and capital P for podcast. Please check out our award-winning wines and find out about our wine club at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte!